Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
Now that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
A reporter is plunged into the dark world of money laundering and the worldwide crime network when he stumbles across a scam so big that his life is on the line. Now the true story can finally be told. An investigation that will take you across the globe to England, Eastern Europe, Australia, Panama, Africa, and New Zealand. How an international network of money launderers got away with more than $100 million stolen from the Christian community. Exposing the Ponzi Masters is the true account of one man determined to expose the truth and the legions that tried to stop him. A story so dark that you won't believe what you are reading. A story so important it's being monitored by government agencies worldwide. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, a true crime expose from James L. Paris, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. Exposing the Ponzi Masters. Available on Kindle from Amazon.com.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. Now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, welcome to another edition of the live broadcast. My name is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com, and I have no complaints this week for my production people. I'm constantly complaining to them about being behind on booking guests and finding guests that I want, and they just absolutely hit the ball out of the park this week by confirming with me that we have standing by. He'll be with us in about 15 minutes, Daniel Estolan, and we're going to be talking about his brand new book, Trans Evolution, which it's going to blow your mind, this interview and this book. It's I heard him on Alex Jones and a couple of other shows, and I said, man, we have got to book Daniel Estolan. And I didn't put two and two together because sitting right here across my office in my bookcase is his book on the Bilderberg group, which I've thoroughly enjoyed. I just did not connect that it was the same guy, and made that connection here over the weekend while I was doing some further research on our guest. So Daniel Estolan will be with us here momentarily. A lot of interesting things happening this week, and we'll ask Daniel also. He is originally from Russia. We'll ask him his thoughts about what's happening right now in Ukraine. It's very interesting to watch Obama posturing, I guess I should say, saber rattling, like we're really going to do anything militarily in this situation. It's not going to happen. And Obama, again, is drawing red lines that he has no intention of following up on. But the latest threat, which actually might be the way to go, is to possibly kick Russia out of the G8, and it'll become the G7 again. So that's the latest threat that Secretary of State John Kerry is making to the Russians if they don't get the military presence out of Ukraine. But we'll ask our guest his thoughts on this in just a moment. Lots of things happening this week. We continue to follow the Bitcoin story very, very closely. And I'll tell you, you know, I hate to sound Pollyannish or somebody that's always trying to find the glass being half full when it comes to these Bitcoin scandals that pop up. Of course, the big scandal over the last couple of weeks is the meltdown of MT Gox, which, by the way, was not the largest Bitcoin exchange. There was at least one other that was larger than MT Gox, as far as my research goes. And the end of one exchange does not mean the end of Bitcoin. And this is where a lot of reporters who aren't doing the research are really misleading their readers. I've gotten so many emails from people saying, I just read a story that Bitcoin went out of business, that Bitcoin is bankrupt. And these are literally reporters that are suggesting that one Bitcoin exchange going under means that Bitcoin has now disappeared, which it really couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, Bitcoin is trading right now at almost $600 over at bitstamp.net. So Bitcoin has not disappeared any more than the analogy would be if the Chicago Stock Exchange went out of business. It wouldn't mean the end of stocks. It wouldn't mean that all stocks were scams. I mean, this is the kind of writing that we're getting from the financial journalists that don't really have any information. They haven't done their homework about Bitcoin, and they're just jumping to all these crazy conclusions that just because we've got the one exchange, MT Gox, and I don't mean to minimize this. I mean, this is really a big deal. You know, lots of people lost money, hundreds of millions of dollars of Bitcoins disappeared, and we really don't know how this happened. I mean, we know that MT Gox says there was some sort of a flaw in their accounting system, and it allowed people to make multiple withdrawals of the same Bitcoins, and hackers figured this out and ended up cleaning them out. That's their story. Some speculate that maybe the people running MT Gox somehow, you know, looted their own treasury, if you will. We just don't know. But we do know that it seems clear that this issue is isolated to MT Gox. And I had an account at MT Gox. I was fortunate that at the time I had no money in it. I had already moved my Bitcoin over to another secure wallet. And that's, I think, one of the big lessons in this is to never keep all of your Bitcoin in just one location. But we're going to continue to watch this, but it certainly does not mean Bitcoin is over. In fact, if anything, I'm really surprised and encouraged to see that, look, Bitcoin, after all of the pronouncements that Bitcoin is dead, Bitcoin is trading tonight at almost $600. So I think that, as I think it was Mark Twain that said, news of my death has been highly exaggerated, greatly exaggerated. And that's really the case with Bitcoin. It keeps on ticking. It's still going. And for those of you that sent me all these odd I told you so emails suggesting that Bitcoin is now out of business, worth zero, you're just not informed. And you need to do your research. And that's the kind of reporting that we're getting, though, on Bitcoin. We get one Bitcoin executive gets arrested. Somebody was helping a bad guy launder money, allegedly, and then I get an email, you know, the emails start flowing in from people saying, you see that Bitcoin's been closed down because the government arrested one particular person who had a money-changing business without it being properly licensed, et cetera, and that was money laundering, allegedly. And then again, the news media runs with a story that Bitcoin is completely finished. So we've seen these stories over and over again, and the good news is Bitcoin is still going. So those of you that have Bitcoin, no need to worry. A lot of interesting things happening on my Twitter feed. I just did some reading this afternoon and shared a bunch of stuff that I thought was interesting over at Twitter. I want to share with you just a few of these highlights. I'll put a link to several stories over at money.com, which I was reading this afternoon. One of the stories I found fascinating, the top 10 most affordable small cities in America. And, you know, believe it or not, there are places that you can buy a nice house for less than $100,000. And you can find that article linked over on my Twitter feed, which is twitter.com/James L. Paris. And I found that just interesting that as much as I hear from people, you know, I've got a lot of relatives still in the Chicago area. My wife has family. We have family out on the West Coast. By marriage, I have family. I should say they're my family, too. I've been married almost 30 years. But in any case, you know, you hear stories of people buying, you know, million-dollar two-bedroom houses out on the West Coast. Then you read these stories where people are buying, you know, four-bedroom houses for $90,000, you know, in Michigan, in Iowa, you know, Cumberland, Maryland was another city listed. Just really interesting stuff when you look at, you know, really what the options that you do have today. I mean, so many people look at their life and they're in a box. You know, they say, well, you know, I can't make it. I don't have enough money coming in to be able to pay my bills, and they've got a $500,000 mortgage. and, you know, never would think about maybe selling that house they can't afford and getting into something, maybe relocating to one of these areas where real estate is still cheap. Where I live in Flagler County, Florida, real estate is cheap, and it has been, but it's not so much anymore. In fact, our house is getting close to being worth almost about 80% more than we bought it for 4 years ago. And so we're starting to see a bump back in real estate prices. In fact, right on my street, there are two houses being built. My wife and I were riding around a little bit today on the motorcycle. We saw a lot of construction on the way home from church, driving on A1A along the beach back from St. Augustine. So it looks like, you know, maybe it's the cold weather that's driving people back here to Florida. Maybe it's the fact that we have no state income tax and that real estate is still pretty darn cheap compared to a lot of places. But that's not going to last forever. So if you're looking for a good deal on real estate, you know, now's the time to really scope out your options and jump on it, because looks like prices are going up around the country, but there still are some good places to live. And speaking of real estate, another interesting story I linked to on my Twitter feed. I don't know if you have seen this, these so-called small houses or mini houses. And this is an interesting phenomenon. My business partner, Bob Yetman, knows a lot about these little houses. Now, what I'm talking about is this house that I've linked to is 136 square foot house. And people are building these, and there are companies you can buy these from, so-called mini houses. And this is what people are doing now to get off the grid. They're actually, it almost looks like a camper trailer, but it's something that's a little bit more sturdy than that. These are made generally out of a wood frame, and it's built, though, on a bed of a trailer so that it can be moved from one location to the next. And, man, I'll tell you what, the creativity that people have to take a small space like this guy did, 136 square feet, and he's got a little office nook in there. He's got a shower and a toilet area. He's got a kitchen area for cooking. And then he's got a loft where you go up a staircase, and the staircase is also a bookcase where he's got his books stored. And you go up to the top of this thing, and that's where the sleeping area is. And he and his wife live in this house, and a lot of people are doing this. And these little mini houses, you can buy them if you don't want to build one yourself. You can buy these for, in some cases, you know, $10,000 or $15,000, these small, like, miniature houses. And this is a trend that I'm seeing. I'm hearing more and more about this. Are you an online poker player? A big story today. Again, I've linked to it on my Twitter feed. If you are someone playing online poker, which I don't do and you shouldn't be doing anyway, but a big story about $76 million being refunded back to online poker players. Maybe it's a way for you to recoup some of your losses. Also, another fascinating story. I thought the pictures from this were just so interesting. I had to link it from my Twitter feed. 10 abandoned hotels and resorts around the world. And this is a really interesting, it was put up on the Weather Channel website, and they've got pictures inside these resorts, and some of these resorts were in their heyday, were just really beautiful places with incredible large in the ground swimming pools. Many of them in locations. One of them is right on the ocean, and now they're totally abandoned. And so they let a photographer go in and take pictures. And boy, talk about a spooky sight. I mean, think about being in one of these places in the middle of the night by yourself, and literally as you know, they go through and they take pictures. You'll see, like, one of them was a golf resort, and there's, like, just a random golf shoe that's been sitting there since the resort was closed, like, 40 years ago. Just weird things, like that, little things that people left behind. Pictures of course, a completely drained in-the-ground swimming pool, indoor swimming pool. You know, many of these places would probably be scarier than going into a haunted house, but thought that was really interesting. Sharing that, also there's some additional good information about what's going on with Bitcoin linked over there. And also I want to just mention this quickly before we get to our guest. I saw the movie Son of God last night, and I read an article yesterday that I guess like it brought in $25 million in the first day or two. So obviously the people behind that movie are going to make a lot of money. And I really wanted it to be great. I wanted the movie to be great. You know, as a Christian, I went in and I saw a lot of Christians there, a lot of church groups and that sort of thing at the movie theater, and I wanted it to be great. And I looked forward to this movie coming out, and I went last night with my wife. And after the movie was over, we were walking back to the car, and she kind of looked at me, and I looked at her, and we were kind of afraid to be the first one to say it. But we both kind of said it at the same time. It wasn't very good. And, you know, it's really a shame because, man, you know, the story of Christ is such an amazing story. And I guess the problem that I had, and my wife Ann and I, we agreed on this, that after Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, man, it's hard when somebody just nails it like he did. I mean, with that, that presentation, it's like no one should ever try to do that again, because that was just so perfect. You just can't do better than that. And unfortunately, because of the Passion of the Christ, and that's what I consider to be the best presentation of the story of Christ's crucifixion, it's just hard for anybody else to do anything that good. And the production quality was just not very good. We had talked a little bit about the fact that it might have been something we could have enjoyed if it was on television. But when you go to see something on the big screen, because of what we now have come to expect here in the year 2014, the special effects and all of that, when you see something that sort of has the production quality of TV on the big screen, it's just a letdown. And there was some really cheesy scenes, like the one scene where the disciples are in the boat and it's a storm comes along, and then Jesus is walking on the water. It just looked so fake, it was silly. And just some cheesy things like that. And I know I'm going to get hate mail about this. Maybe not hate mail, but people saying, Jim, why are you bashing this great movie about Jesus? I just didn't like it. I'm being honest with you here. Save your money. Wait for it to come out on DVD, or you can rent it on online or watch it on Netflix for free in a year or two. It just didn't strike me as what I thought it was going to be. So there we go. I guess if we're doing the 5-star thing, I'd give it maybe 2.5 stars. Maybe if I got enough hate mail, I might give it 3 stars. But that's about as far as I go. All right, enough with our opening comments, and we want to go right to our guest tonight. And I got to give him a proper introduction. You probably know who he is from his book about the Bilderberg Group. He's written several books, and I'm hearing a lot lately, too, about a book called The Octopus Deception, which is a novel, which I'm just hearing so many good things about that. The latest book is Trans Evolution, another book, just Deconstructing WikiLeaks, another book, Shadow Masters, and also, of course, the true story of the Bilderberg Group. And joining us from somewhere internationally, I'm not sure where, but we were able to get him connected via Skype, is our special guest tonight, Daniel Estulon. Good to have you with us, Daniel.
It's wonderful to be on your show. Thank you very much. Actually, as they say, parts unknown, I'm in Spain right now today.
Okay.
And it's 3:15 a.m. where I am.
Wow. Well, I thank you so much for getting up in the middle of the night then to join us on the program. I'm terribly sorry about that. Yeah, it's probably tough it's probably tough when you have a show like that in the U.S. here. I figured you were somewhere in Europe because they said it was 2 or 3 a.m. where you were. I wanted to start, Daniel. Can I call you Daniel?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Daniel, you're from Russia originally, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts, and maybe to enlighten myself and our listeners about what's happening in Ukraine right now. The U.S. appears to be, you know, making a number of threats against Russia's involvement there. Any thoughts on what's happening and, you know, your insight as a former Russian citizen there?
Well, it's, I mean, all, what we're seeing in the Ukraine is exactly what we're seeing in Caracas in Venezuela, what we're seeing in Bangkok, Thailand, who we saw in the 1990s, and Yugoslavia, and who we saw in the Soviet Union. These are the decentralized powers at work. The same thing that we see in Detroit, the people who are behind, you know, the destruction, the demand destruction, and making Detroit look like, you know, a bombed-down shell, a post-industrialized society, are the same organizational structures who are behind what we're seeing right now in all of these other countries I just mentioned earlier. And the idea behind what we're seeing around the world is the reorganization of the world economy, countries being subjected to the rules of the very few. We're not talking about governmental level. We're talking about supra-government level. And at this level, the rules of the game are different. And the reason that a lot of people don't seem to understand what's going on in a lot of these different places and don't see a comparison or a relation between Caracas, Detroit, Kiev, Bangkok, and so on and so forth, is that most people, unfortunately, think in terms of foreign policy and national policy. But there's another policy that basically decides how the world affairs is going to be run. That's called global policy. Well, not global policy. It doesn't depend on the President of the United States, who is just another man put in place by people who spend a lot of money on, you know, getting him elected to the White House. It makes no difference who sits in the White House or sits in Ottawa in the Prime Minister or the President of Spain or France or England. It makes no difference who these people are, because the global policy is decided on a supranational level. Call them globalists, men behind the curtain, whatever you want to call them. But they're above government level and they're certainly above presidential levels. And so the actions that we're seeing in these countries, destabilizing forces, are the same organizations who are running these operations from behind the scenes, be it in Detroit, be it in Caracas, be it in Kiev, or be it in Bangkok, be it in former Yugoslavia, or the Soviet Union back in the 1990s. And if you look at the operations, the technique of doing this is exactly the same.
Now, Daniel, do you expect the Russians to back down at all? I certainly don't. Is there any hope that they might at least reduce this to a limited presence just to protect, let's say, their naval interests there?
No, not at all, because you're talking about the vital area of Russian interest. And Kerry and company can make a lot of noise, but they certainly are absolutely powerless, and they know this. They can threaten Putin with boycotting G8 and throwing Russia out of G8. But the people have to understand that this war is very, very old. If you go back to the Second World War, and the reason it was fought, actually, to begin with, was because the powers needed to get at Russian or Soviet national resources. Russia is the biggest country in the world that has all the natural resources in the world. And if you really think about it, it doesn't make sense that big countries like England or Switzerland or France or Germany that produce nothing, have nothing to offer, have no forests, no land, gas, no oil, no gold or silver. Citizens of these countries live so much better than citizens in Russia, the wealthiest country in natural resources in the world, that has all the water in the world, has all the minerals in the world. It's simply not possible. So for the elite globalists to control the world, they must subjugate the Soviet Union and Russia. They couldn't win the war, and after at the end of the war in 1948, Alan Dulles actually wrote a paper. In that paper, they said that the idea was to get at the control of Russia and Soviet Union through other means, and that means cultural warfare, destroying the country from within, separating, you know, other republics from Russian Federation, creating havoc, changing the very paradigm of society, you know, through bringing on other cultures and ideas which are strange to the Russian culture, which is what we're seeing right now, but not only in Russia. We're seeing it in the entire world, in the United States, where we have this degeneracy running wild and rampant, where people have lost their scale of values. We are no longer human beings, but something we can't really even define. And so again, what we're seeing right now is exactly this predicament. Russia was, or Soviet Union was, separated, broken up into little pieces back in 1991. They tried to do the same with Russia in the period of Yeltsin. Then Putin came in and put the country back on, you know, track. And what we're seeing right now in Ukraine, them, you know, the globalists dividing the country, splitting it up into little pieces, which are much easier to control. They did the same in the 1990s with Yugoslavia. They're trying to do the same in Venezuela. And they're trying to do the same, split Thailand into different subdivisions, you know, the Muslim South, so on and so forth. So again, this is a very old game being played exactly the same way, except that it's not working out as the Americans and the globalists had hoped, and that's why Kerry and company are making some very belligerent noises, but that's all it is, just noises, because they know they're absolutely powerless to stop Russia from doing and protecting what is theirs.
Now, I want to get into the new book, and for folks just tuning in, this is Jim Parrish. You're listening to Jim Parrish Live. My guest tonight, Daniel Estulon. His new book is Trans Evolution. And, Daniel, I don't know if you agree with this view or not, but I think sometimes, many times, that Hollywood is sort of a propaganda tool for the New World Order, maybe preparing us for things that they want us to buy into or accept at some point in the future. And I see this movie starring Johnny Depp that will be coming out called Transcendence. And then I read your book.
That's right.
Yeah, then I read your book, Trans Evolution, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my word, this is the same concept here. And it's there's a movie now coming out about it, the idea that you can take, like, the human mind and upload it to a robot or to a computer, and all of a sudden now someone lives forever and or could have some sort of computer chip and multiply their intelligence by thousands of times. Which came first here, this movie idea or your book? It almost seems like they're promoting your book here with this movie.
You know, it's actually the concept that's important. The way of going about, you know, getting people to understand it and subscribe to it is less important. What's important to understand what is being done and why it's being done to us. If you kind of go back very, very quickly to about 6,000 years ago, and you know, you kind of look at who controlled knowledge way back when, you know, in Egypt, let's say 6,000 years ago, they were the pharaohs. The people who controlled knowledge were the high priests, and they kind of gave it to us, you know, a little droplet at a time, just enough for us to do our, you know, menial jobs. Well, today, 6,000 years later, as a result of information revolution, you or I, or somebody sitting in Kiev, or an aborigine in the middle of an outback in Australia, or a Koya Indian sitting in a tree in the middle of an Amazon rainforest in Bolivia, with a computer and an internet hookup, all they need to do is to go to Google, and they have at their fingertips the entire history of knowledge of humanity, the same knowledge that, you know, the high priests and secret societies throughout the ages, you know, kept to themselves and passed on from generation to generation, you know, in secret private meetings that no one else, no other mortal had access to. Well, today, because of the information revolution, anyone has access to almost anything. So what the elite have realized about 20 years ago, in the early 1990s, you know, when internet became internet, is that they needed to find another way to get the upper hand of society. So what we're seeing right now is, on the one hand, they're destroying the world economy on purpose, sending us to hell in a handbasket, while on the other hand, they're using this amazing, you know, the technological advancements and the gazillions of dollars in wealth that they have to, you know, to separate us from them, to, you know, to get this divide between 0.01% of them and the rest of humanity be as wide as it has ever been. And this is what we're seeing right now. So on the one hand, we have Detroit as a great example of how this deindustrialization, genetic destruction, zero growth, actually works in principle. But on the other hand, we're seeing this incredible absolutely mind-boggling technological developments, which, you know, are so far out there that makes it very difficult for most people to even fathom that this kind of stuff exists, because, again, most people are not technically or technologically savvy. But one of the conclusions, and I think it's a very startling conclusion of my book, is that we're standing at the cusp of the greatest evolutionary change in the history of mankind. That, you know, in the next few years, and I mean few, 3-5 years, we're going to be debating the very definition of a human being. Because right now, as a result of our synthetic biology, for example, we can literally create beings in a laboratory, so much so that our children, the kids who today are 15, 20 years old, they're the last 100% truly human generation of beings on the planet. Their children are going to be transhuman children, post-human children, then machines, cyborgs, beings who are not totally human, but they certainly will not be human beings.
Wow, wow, scary, scary stuff. And Daniel, we're going to put you on hold because we have a break coming up here. This is a 4-minute break. It's our only break, so you can stretch your legs. We're so excited to have our special guest with us tonight, Daniel Estulón. He's joining us live from Spain to talk about his new book, Trans Evolution. And I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. What he just said gave me chills. I mean, I literally have chills when I listen to what he's talking about, that this generation, our children today, are likely the last generation of 100% human beings, that we are now on a trajectory that literally we're now going to go into future generations being part human, part computer. Scary, scary stuff. And I'll tell you what, this book, Trans Evolution, is a must read, because he gets into not just this whole issue of, you know, humans, you know, mixing with computers and what all that means, the combination of humans and computers. But he also gets into a lot of other interesting things about the Federal Reserve, about what's happening worldwide, literally the shadow government that appears to be running things. Very, very fascinating. The book's available on Amazon. I downloaded it tonight. I bought it for my Kindle. I also have the physical copy, but now I just got it for my Kindle so that I can read it on Kindle. So you can grab it Kindle or the physical copy, or you can grab it at your local bookstore as well if you don't want to order it online. It's available, I know, at my bookstores here in Palm Coast, so I'm sure that it's available nationwide and worldwide. And we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back in 4 minutes with our guest, Daniel Estulón. The name of the book, Evolution. This is Jim Paris. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. If you are interested in learning some new strategies for generating online income, check out my free training schedule at jimsfreetraining.com. That's jimsfreetraining.com. Whether you're just looking for part-time income or to build an internet business that can replace your full-time job, check out this free online workshop coming up this week. Register now at jimsfreetraining.com. The workshop. Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. Recently, I did an event in Chicago unveiling a brand new service called Christian Money Plus. It's been years in the making, and I'm super excited to let you know that it is now available. At the centerpiece of this new program is the ability for you to have unlimited access to me personally using the internet. You'll also receive my 12-page newsletter mailed to your home each and every month. Now, there are tons of other benefits, such as our suite of financial calculators, model portfolios, and much, much more. Right now, I'm offering several bonuses to our new subscribers. Some of these bonuses include a video on how to use the internet to raise money for your idea or project. This is money you will never have to pay back. There's also a second video on how to save money by dropping cable TV, and I also cover on this video how to get free home phone service for life. Yes, you can drop cable TV and still get hundreds of channels on your television set legally using the internet. All of that, including how to get the free home phone service for life, all of that on your second bonus video. Additional bonus reports include how to opt out of Obamacare, as I did, and save thousands by joining what's called Christian Medical Sharing. Another bonus report shows you step-by-step how to stop Google from spying on you. All of this information is available right now to subscribers of our brand new service, Christian Money Plus. I sure hope you'll consider joining us. All of the money that comes in every month from Christian Money Plus goes to further the mission of our website, ChristianMoney.com. Check it out today. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. Again, that's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. You can subscribe right now and access all of these bonus reports within a matter of just a few seconds. Check it out right now. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to pray for a financial miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, how to pray for a financial miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com, how to pray for a financial miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com.
Okay, we are back. Good to have you with us tonight. It's Sunday night, and we are live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. And we do put the show out on iTunes, and I really appreciate the amount of downloads. I have been blown away by the tens of thousands of downloads that have been happening every week over at iTunes. We also have our production team take the program. We turn it into a video, which is basically a slideshow with picture of our guest, my picture, and picture of the guest book and all that. We put that up at YouTube and about four or five other video sites as well. So lots of different places where the show gets distributed. But we love doing it live because that gives you a chance to call in and talk to our special guests. And tonight we're going to give you that opportunity as well. If you could talk to Daniel Estulon, he's with us live from Spain to talk about his brand new book, Trans Evolution. And your opportunity to talk to Daniel right now at 888-287-3316. Toll free, 888-287-3316. Or we're going to take some questions also by email. I know a lot of you would prefer to just ask the question by email, but as we always do, the callers go first, the emails go second. But we will take email questions as well, jim@christianmoney.com. jim@christianmoney.com. The toll-free number again, 888-287-3316. And before we go to calls, Daniel, I want to ask you your thoughts on Bitcoin. I believe it was your publicity person told our booker, our producer, that you also would weigh in on Bitcoin. Are you pro or against Bitcoin? Your thoughts on the MT Gox implosion? Anything you want to comment on along those lines?
I think Bitcoin is a bit overrated, and it's also outdated. There's technologies coming out right now which are far more sophisticated and interesting, which truly do give independence. Indonesia, for example, for years had something called the Octopus Card, and basically it's a card which overrides any kind of a bank account, and with that card you basically load up, it's your personal bank. So you have with that card all your money there, which means you don't only need a bank. You have, your debit, your credit card. It's a special system which governments can actually use to protect themselves from any kind of currency speculation. So Bitcoin, it's interesting, but it's certainly a middle step towards creating far greater economic independence for nations. And I know that countries such as Russia, for example, are now looking at different ways, especially in light of what we're seeing right now around the world, to make sure that their currency and their economy is protected, because you can easily debase, the economy and the currency, as we've seen back in the 1990s in Russia and in other countries, how, you know, how that can be done. In the United States, of course, you know, the Great Depression, which really wasn't the Great Depression at all. It was rather, you know, a transfer of wealth. The wealthy became wealthier, and the rest of us became much poorer. So, again, Bitcoin is interesting, but, you know, because everybody wants to destroy the dollar, but, you know, that's perhaps not the best way of saving the world's economy. You need to reorganize it, but not by destroying the dollar.
All right. Well, this may play into our first question. We've got Joanne calling us from Minneapolis, St. Paul. And Joanne, you're on Jim Paris Live. Say hello to our special guest, Daniel Estulon.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for your information. So it's very intriguing. I was just wondering, how does the information in your book relate to the Christians' idea of end times theology and the mark of the beast?
Oh, great question, Joanne. All right, Daniel, I don't know your religious persuasion at all. We book people. Sometimes they're Christians, and we know that. Sometimes maybe not. Your thoughts about the mark of the beast and how any of your ideas in your book may apply?
You know, there's back in 2010, in August 2010, I was invited by Fidel Castro. And I went to Cuba, and he read my book on the Bilderberg Group. He loved it, and you know, he wanted to meet me and discuss it. So, you know, we talked about the book. And, you know, at a certain point, I said to him, you know, I said how he understood immortality. And he kind of, you know, talked about Lenin and Marx, and he kind of realized that he was talking nonsense. He kind of stopped, and he said to me, well, how do you understand it? I said, well, you know, a lot of people think that immortality is, you know, somebody crosses himself 20, 30 times a day when they die, they're so long forever. And I said, that may be the case, I don't know. No one ever came back and told me that, you know, that's how it works. But immortality, as far as I'm concerned, is the necessity of us, you know, to assure the survival of our species. And to do that, okay, in order to do that, what we need to do is we need to conquer space. We need to make sure that a million years from now, there are gazillions of people living out there in the universe. And the way to do this is, again, to understand that, you know, first and foremost, we require technological progress, scientific progress, and cultural progress, not merely to become richer and more powerful, you know, like the globalists want to be, but because we need to be immortal, as no animal can be. We need to participate in the discovery and application of universal physical principles that no animal could do. And when we find our motivation and our morality in that, we become morally, absolutely invisible. And for me, this is the meaning of immortality.
As far now, as right, Daniel, the idea, though, of a one-world government, a one-world financial system, whether or not you subscribe to Christian theology or not, that would line up with, I would believe, much of what I'm reading in your book right now.
Well, you know, the idea of one world government, it doesn't really exist. You know, the idea is not one world government, but rather one world company, limited corporations that have a lot more power than any government on the planet. And in fact, back in 1968, at a Bilderberg meeting in Canada, George Ball, the then Undersecretary for Economic Affairs with JFK and Johnson, he said, where does one find a legitimate base for the power of corporate management to make decisions that can profoundly affect the economic life of nations to whose government they have only limited responsibility? And this is how these people understand one world company limited, not one world government. The idea of, you know, four old geezers sitting in a dark room holding hands, staring at a crystal ball, planning the world's domination is not really serious, you know, consideration, you know, for any serious researcher. Because organizations such as Bilderberg, it's not a secret society. It's not a, you know, it's a conspiracy reality. The organizations that have a lot more power than Bilderberg organization, where real decision-making processes are actually made. As far as the mark of the beast, you know, I think, you know, we don't actually need to have anything implanted in our hand. Everybody has a smartphone, and with a smartphone technology, you know, GPS and the surveillance technology, you know, you have, you know, you are chipped 24/7, 365. They know exactly where you are at all times. So, you know, it doesn't really make sense to talk of the mark of the beast, especially in lieu of all this incredible technology which is out there and available to us. And this is, again, some of the things that I talk about in my book as far as the GPS and how they can actually follow us. And they do use this incredible technology, against us instead of using it for the betterment of humanity.
Now, someone's emailing here, and they want to know about Google and artificial intelligence. And Google came out with a news report. I don't know if you saw this. It was this week. And Google, they're not denying this. In fact, they're promoting this. This came from them saying that, at this point in the next few years, Google will know you better than your intimate partner will know you. They're actually saying this. They're not trying to say, hey, you're accusing us of having all the information on you and we deny it. They're saying, we admit it. In fact, it's even worse than you imagine that it is. And they're promoting this. What about the idea of how Google might play into all of this? I know there's one gentleman, I don't know his name, but who's sort of their top guy there for artificial intelligence. Any thoughts on that?
His name is Ray Kurzweil. He is the head tech guy at Google, one of the greatest inventors of the 20th century. I mean, we can talk about Google, we can also talk about Twitter, Facebook, and all these other systems, which are, Microsoft, Apple. But if you want to talk about Google, let's talk about Google. It's actually not Google, but Google. And the spelling of the word is G-O-O-G-O-L. That's how the word is actually spelled. And the word was invented back in 1938 by a 9-year-old, kid by the name of Milton Sirota. And Google is an infinite number, a 1 followed by 100 zeros. Infinity has the limits. But then added as Google, or did people truly think that the owners of the company simply pulled a cute little name out of their hat? They did not. Remember, limitless, anything, spells control. So Google is an integral part of the United States security apparatus. It collects and integrates everything that's already in the Google ecosystem. Your messages, activities, calendar, location data, search preferences, contacts, personal habits based on, Gmail, Chatter, search queries. 2 years ago, for example, if you remember, Google announced plans to integrate users information across Gmail, YouTube, Google search engines, and 57 other Google services, such as Gtalk, Google News, Google Maps, Finance, Google Checkout, etc. And as you said, another of Google's new toys is their Google Goggles, which is augmented reality. Now, the product allows a user basically to take a picture of a picture, and it will tell you everything anyone needs to know about this picture. And what's happening right now, especially with smartphone technology, and one of the reasons you have, such amazing camera qualities on smartphones, is that everyone wants to know what we see with our eyes through a phone. So they will encourage you to use it, scan barcodes, people, places, and the unilateral identification of different images, which is augmented annotated reality. Now, how can they do this? They can build Picasa, which is an image viewer for organizing and editing digital photographs. When you combine that with face recognition technology and Google, which is a Bilderberg influence company, they have the technology to instantaneously recognize, identify, process, and catalog everything and everyone who is in these photographs. Now, people may not realize that, but then again, how many people have read the terms of service for Google Mobile? Zero. And do you want to know what it says? It says that you, the consumer, give them, Google, the right to keep a permanent record, store, archive, and resell your location and your information. And because GPS and Skyhook are now on most telephones, we always know your location within 3 meters. So we don't need really to talk about, Mark of the Beast. We have, the beast itself tied to our inside pocket, 24/7, 365. A lot of people even sleep with us, smartphones.
Yeah, now, this is an interesting question and one I wouldn't have thought to ask you, but someone is asking here if you wanted to position some money for, let's say, what was going to be happening over the next 5-10 years, they're asking. How would Daniel Eschelon invest his money? Do you buy gold? Do you buy silver? Are you putting your money in some of this technology, maybe realizing that, hey, like it or not, it's going to become highly profitable and you can put some of your own investment dollars to work in some of these areas? How would you recommend that people use this information to invest?
That's a very good question. Actually, you know, I give private conferences. I'm not going to say to whom, but, you know, to some very, 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 very wealthy individuals, you know, who pull their money and, you know, we're talking about billions of dollars worth. And, you know, because, again, my advice is you know, based on, you know, your typical Wall Street advice. Gold and silver are always good investments. But, you know, let's step out the box and actually, you know, look up instead of looking down, because the universe is, you know, above us, not below us. So my investments will be anything related to space exploration, because the future of mankind is in space. So we need to, you know, for us to be immortal, because there's going to come a point in time where we're going to have to emigrate from the planet Earth and conquer the galaxies. So we need to go to the moon. We need to go to Mars. And we need to conquer the galaxies. What do these planets have? They have an incredible amount of natural resources. Okay? And this is very important, because these resources can be used on the planet Earth, such as, for example, titanium, aluminium, and iron, water from asteroids can fuel an in-space economy. And, of course, you know, the moon and other planets in the solar system have a decisive advantage relative to the Earth in the purification of metals, because there is no atmosphere there. And because the moon has no atmosphere and the vacuum is free and of much better quality than anything we can create on the planet Earth. So, you know, for example, with purification of, you know, purified lunar Titan, we could build bridges on Earth that would last forever. Moon also has incredible reserves of helium-3, which is an isotope, very rare on the planet Earth, and it's the ideal element to realize, for example, nuclear fusion. We need that, for example, because there is enough fuel on the moon to meet the present energy needs of the entire Earth for about 2,000 years. It is the cleanest and the best source of energy, you know, in the universe, helium. So we've gone from, you know, wood to carbon to fossil fuels, which is oil, to nuclear, and the next step is fission and fusion. So my investment, you know, advice would be anything related to space exploration. There are private corporations right now, for example. One is from the Netherlands called Mars One. Okay, they're getting ready to send a manned mission to Mars in the year 2018. European Space Agency and Russia are getting ready to send a manned mission to Mars in 2023. There's privately funded corporations such as Planetary Resources and Golden Spike Company. They're working around the clock on a landing mission to the moon and also mission critical projects of asteroid mining. Anything related to space exploration and nanotechnology is a safe bet as far as the investment is concerned.
And we're going to hit you with our last question tonight. And this is a question I was going to ask you. I forgot. I'm glad one of our emailers brought this question up. You know, when we talk about this idea of uploading someone's conscience, someone's mind, to a computer, is that really you at that point? I mean, this is a question that, you know, I'm confused about the idea that someone could take what is basically Jim Paris from my brain and put that into a computer. Even if they could take, for example, all of my memories up till this moment and they put that into a computer system, is that actually effectively me in that system, or is that simply just a computer operating on my life experiences and my memory up to that moment?
I don't know. But my question to you is, does it matter if it's you or if it's somebody else or something else? The point is that if you look at, you know, technological development over, you know, last 100,000 years, we went from stone tools 100,000 BC to wheel 4,000 BC, to gunpowder in the 15th century, in the 9th century, sorry, to the printing press in the 15th century. That was a real big game changer. Light bulb in the 19th century. And then the 20th century, we have the cars, television, nuclear weapons, spacecraft, internet, and now we have biotech, nanotech, fusion, vision, space travel. And for the next 50 years, we will be able to create cybernetic individuals who will be completely indistinguishable from us. And, you know, what these transhumanists, and this is what my book is about, Transevolution, the Coming Age of Human Deconstruction, is they're convinced Now, when I say transhuman, the anthem cooks. These are some of the greatest minds, which, you know, if they work for the collective, you know, good of humanity, they can do an enormous good for, you know, for the planet Earth. But it depends on what their final objectives are. But these people are convinced that by 2035, we will be able to transfer one's personality to an avatar of our choosing. They call this period the epoch of cybernetic immortality. In one generation, bodies made of nanorobots will be able to take shape or rise alongside hologram bodies. They're talking about literally the era of neo-humanity. And basically what the scientists want to do is to incrementally move the human mind into the more disembodied, and I guess no better way to say it, futuristic vehicles. First, they're talking about a humanoid robot controlled entirely by a human brain, the brain-machine interface. Then a conscious human brain transplanted in a humanoid robot, then consciousness itself uploaded to a computer, and finally a hologram that contains full conscious human mind. I don't know if they'll be able to do that, but I think the merging of man and the machine is absolutely inevitable. What terrified me to death is the idea is, you know, what separates us from anything out there is our divine spark of reason that literally allows us to discover universal principles of nature, which makes us people above and beyond anything out there. When you start messing with all these different elements together and playing God, you just don't know where you're going to end up. And these are, you know, you can talk about the, you know, metaphysical points, you can talk about the religious points, but the point is, and as I said at the beginning of the show, we're standing at the cusp of the greatest evolutionary change in the history of mankind. And I guess it's important to understand that these globalists, these transhumanists feel that the technology that they have is so advanced that they can literally, you know, stand up and face the gods and beat them at their game. At least that's what they believe in.
Very, very scary. Now, Daniel, people can get your book everywhere, I assume. Do you have a website or anything else you would like to give out?
Yeah, you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, through my publisher, Triday.com. You know, I'm losing my words because we've done about 200 interviews in the last 2 weeks. This book literally is taking America by storm because it's the first book of its kind that literally explains, in a three-dimensional model, gives you a roadmap of the near future using technology, genetic engineering, you know, cyberspace, economy, transhumanist movement, synthetic biology, and so on and so forth, all of these elements, and puts them together and explains how all of these elements fit together into a model which they're either using to get a much bigger advantage over the rest of humanity.
Very, very good. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us, getting up in the middle of the night there in Spain. His book is Trans Evolution. His name is Daniel Estolan. I highly recommend this book. Very, very interesting reading, and it's not science fiction. It's real stuff. That's what makes it so compelling and scary, actually. Trans Evolution, available everywhere. Our guest tonight, Daniel Estolan. All right, as we close it out tonight, I've got something super exciting to share with you. If you're listening live, you're especially going to appreciate this. Wednesday night, I'm going to be doing a live event over Google. There I was bashing Google the last 20 minutes, and now I'm telling you about I'm going to be using their platform, their Google Hangout platform, to be doing a live event all about digital currency. So if you're somebody that's interested in Bitcoin, you've heard the word, you'd like to learn a little bit more about it, you'd like to find out what some of the alternatives are to Bitcoin, we are going to be doing a live event this Wednesday night. Now, we're not putting this up on the website or anything. If you want to get invited to this, you need to send me an email to jim@christianmoney.com and just say, Jim, please give me the link to be on the live event on Wednesday night. It's free, but we do need to get you the information on how to participate. So if you want to get on my live event all about Bitcoin, it's going to be on Google Hangout. And you will need the link to register, so send me an email to jim@christianmoney.com, jim@christianmoney.com. www.danielestulon.com, and I'll send you out the information. Again, our thanks to Daniel Estulon. The book is Trans Evolution, Scary, Scary Stuff. And it's happening. It's already happening, what he's talking about in the book, so it cannot be ignored. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.